There are so many people who were at the Highland Park Parade, so many people who witnessed what was happening, so many people who live in that area who simply wanted to comment. And our next guest wrote something that was very powerful. And, of course, I don't know. I just thought, John, we should have you on and you should share your story because everybody is talking about what you posted. This is John Nawar or Nawar. Did I get that right, John?
Nawar's fine.
Okay. You know, and it's interesting because we have people who listen all over the country, especially all over this state, and some are very far removed from what happened in Highland Park, and others are just like, well, this is just happening every day. But there are many of us who are connected to people in that community. Is that where you live, or did you just happen to attend the parade because you live nearby?
No, we literally live two blocks just south of the where this happened. We've raised our kids there for 25 years, so this has been our home.
So you were at the parade yesterday? And
yes.
When did you realize that those were gunshots, or did you think it was fireworks?
No, we arrived before the parade. My family preceded me, and I admonished my wife. She didn't get great seats. We were around 40 feet back from the main Central Avenue route. We were adjacent to the podium in Port Clinton Square. And I said, well, we have a crummy view. And the parade had just started. My daughter walked up because there were some ponies. She was interested in seeing the ponies. She walked up to the street, which later on was the kill zone where the bodies were laying. She had just walked back, and we started hearing these shots that were incredibly loud, like an M80 in a garbage can next to you, that loud. As it turns out, the shooter was maybe 45, 50 yards away on the rooftop across the street.
I heard the audio, and I was stunned by how clear the audio was, because we don't often hear the gunfire in these type of massacres. There's really not another word for it, and it shook me yesterday when I heard it, so I can't imagine being on the street and hearing it.
Yeah, well, we were sitting in a chair in the Port Clinton Square, like I said, 40 feet back, and like a herd of people, hundreds of people start swarming to the south through the square, running from the sound of the bullets. In a situation like that, we couldn't really tell where the shooter is, but I guess you learn to follow the crowd because the first people to move are the ones who have seen him.
Right.
Yeah. And so we got swept out through the courtyard, through the back, to the southeast toward the train tracks, but I had lost my daughter at that point and her fiance. I doubled back because my horror scenario was like leaving her behind to bleed out or something.
So when you went back, what did you see?
Well, I mean, everything's abandoned. There was a body I could see by Central Avenue, but, I mean, there were still people straggling and crying, trying to push themselves back to get out safely to the southeast. And it's chaos because sirens are going out. The policemen, the first responders are running by. I mean, it was true chaos.
And you found your daughter?
My daughter left before me. She ran track for U of I, so she was the first one out, as it turns out. I just missed her.
And today, you're not only sad and emotional, but you're really angry because you believe you had an encounter or you witnessed this shooter at a previous event.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's saying this is kind of like a lone wolf, crazy, you know, no motive. But when we actually saw him on the TV, when they identified the individual, we went back to the tape looking at an event that was held September of 2020. There was a Trump rally sponsored by a North Shore militia. We went back to look at the pictures. I'm pretty sure I've got to remember him. I have a picture of him in red pants, a goofy smiley shirt, and a crazy hat at that event.
And you were there as a protester?
We were counter-protesters. They were there for maybe 45 minutes. They were outnumbered 5-1. And I assume they picked Highland Park because Highland Park's pretty liberal. And I think they wanted to tweak our noses at this rally. And I think it was pretty much a failed rally on their part. But it's not too hard for me to imagine 18 months later, after, you know, lies of a stolen election and stuff, you weaponize a feeble-minded person. They come back trying to take revenge. I think of this as domestic terrorism. I don't think of this as some nut job on his own.
And you know, we see there's pictures of him wrapped in the Trump flag. There's pictures of him supporting Biden. I mean, you obviously are talking about a very disturbed individual, and his posts online are numerous and varied, and it's got to be frightening to you as a longtime resident of Highland Park to know that that kid lived in your town and had this evil in his heart, and then to watch it, to see what happened yesterday, I can't even imagine that you've soaked it all in yet.
Well, we're weaponizing these feeble-minded people with all this, you know, these conspiracy theories and lies that are just going across on social media. I mean, it's got to stop, right?
So what are you going to do?
Well, one thing, I had two comments I wanted to make to you. Because I got on social media yesterday, and the first people who get in there are saying, you know what we need is more good guys with guns.
Right.
And I just want to tell you, it was chaos, right? If you're Clint Eastwood and you pulled out your little Beretta in the middle of that chaos, at best you would just terrify the people running from the true shooter. At worst, the first responder would think you're a bad guy too and shoot you. I mean, please, it's not realistic in the least.
Well, and there were good guys with guns. They were marching in the parade. They were everywhere,
yeah.
And you still couldn't put a stop
carry,
to it.
Yeah.
So, all right, and what was your other point that you wanted to make?
Well, I'm angry in that, you know, we raised our kids there. Every Thursday we'd go down to this, Port Clinton Square. They have, you know, they have a Dairy Queen, they have a restaurant, they'd have bands and stuff. Now what's it going to be, a shrine or a memorial? Well, how many shrines or memorials are we going to have across the United States? I looked it up. There's over 300 mass shootings so far this year, and we can't get it together and figure out, like every other industrialized country, how to make this stop happening. It sickens me.
It sickens me, too. And I'm sure you've heard about Aiden McCarthy, the 2-year-old that was found wandering alone.
No, I mean, it's horrifying. The poor kids have lived through COVID, and now the very fabric of America is tearing apart here with these shootings everywhere that can happen in any place.
How are you going to manage? Because I got to tell you, I can't see what you saw and ever unsee it the rest of my life. So how do you think you're going to be able to manage your emotions and your kid and your wife and what everybody else in your town witnessed yesterday?
I mean, it's embarrassing because nothing really happened to us. There's another 30 families whose lives are irrevocably wrecked. I mean, what am I going to feel sorry for myself or thankful that I wasn't shot by a maniac? I mean, we've got to do something. This has been a wake-up call. How come every other country's figured out a way to not have this happen, but we throw up our hands and say it's impossible to address?
Thank you for sharing your story, John. I think it's important people to hear. I think it's just important to have an eyewitness account and to feel the emotion that's raging through your veins right now.
Yeah, thanks for letting me vent my spleen in a public forum.
Don't get on social media. They'll be there to tear you apart.
All right, thanks a lot. Take care.
Be well. Time to get a check on weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld.